Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Life After Trauma with Michelle Rosenthal on CV Radio 95.9 FM, 106.9 FM, and 960 AM. Michelle is a trauma survivor, post-trauma coach, and the founder of HealMyPTSD.com. To reach Michelle with your questions or to share your own experience, call 877-960-9960. Now, here's Michelle Rosenthal.
Hey, good evening, and welcome to Your Life After Trauma, because you know you cannot go back to who you were before the world intruded. But the truth of that is, you don't really need to. You can go forward to a self and a personality and a successful life that is full of purpose and meaning. All you have to do is figure out how to do that, how to transform trauma into something that is a small part of your bigger life. Tonight, talking about transforming traumatic grief. You know what I mean when I say that. You go through a trauma and you come out the other side and suddenly you are not the person that you used to be. And what do? You keep looking back, right? Looking over your shoulder. Where is that person? How do you get back to that person? And after a while, you realize that person and you, there's an enormous amount of space between the two of you and you cannot bridge that gap. Not right away, anyway. So what happens? You see that enormous distance between the two of you. You don't know how to get back to who you were before. You don't know how to live as the person you've become after. And then in the midst of all of that sudden realization that you can't go back to that person, grief sets in, a sadness, a melancholy, an enormous weight that sits on you as you grieve the person you used to be, that person that probably felt joy, that person who accomplished a lot, that person who looked a certain way. And now dealing with post-traumatic stress, just regular post-traumatic stress, much less post-traumatic stress disorder, what's become of your life? How do you look? Do you look the same? Or, as many of us survivors know, you look different, don't you? You look different in your eyes. You look different probably, let's just start with the basics. You don't sleep enough, so you look exhausted. You, after a couple of years, age enormously. Bags under your eyes, a certain slump of the shoulders, because carrying the weight of that grief gets exhausting. And you get farther and farther and farther away from the person you used to be and not any closer to the person you really want to become. So tonight, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about how to transform traumatic grief so that you can shorten the process between when you go through trauma and then you change just like that, too fast, and then you can't get back, you can't move forward, you get stuck in the middle, and then what? So if you're listening tonight and you want some answers about how do you transform traumatic grief, I've got answers for you. Actually, I have a very, very interesting professional perspective on this tonight who is going to give you answers. She's actually written a book about transforming traumatic grief. So we'll be hearing from her. And then later in the show, I have had the fortunate experience of getting to know a survivor by the name of Nicole. And in the 2 years that I've known her, this woman has transformed the grief that she was in to something absolutely brilliant. And I'll let her tell you the big surprise, happy Hollywood ending. So if you're listening via online, or if you want to, you can listen to us at cvuradio.com. You can also go straight to the yourlifeaftertrauma.com website and click on the Listen Live button. While you're there, you can also sign up for radio notifications. So every week, you get a little note in your email with the archive, which is a free audio download, and a note about what's coming up the next week, so you can always be hooked in and stay in the know. And now, let's get started. My guest tonight is Courtney Armstrong, and I am so interested in talking to her. She's a licensed professional counselor and the author of Transforming Traumatic Grief, 6 Steps to Moving from Grief to Peace. Wow, I wish I'd had that book when I was in recovery. Courtney wrote the book after discovering an innovative way of recovering from her own traumatic grief and wanted to share these ideas with others. In practice for 15 years, Courtney owns a counseling center in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and has trained hundreds of mental health health clinicians nationwide in creative ways of promoting resilience after trauma. And I'm going to give you in a minute the phone number here where you can call in to ask your questions to Courtney or just share your experience. So get ready. Courtney can be found on the web at CourtneyArmstrongLPC.com. So, Courtney, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to Your Life After Trauma.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I am so excited about talking to you because I've followed your site for a while, and I love what you're doing for people.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm working hard to to make sure nobody suffers as long as I did.
Yes, it's wonderful.
So if you're listening and you want to call in, I think you can already tell from Courtney's voice she's going to be a very empathetic, compassionate guest.
You know, when I wrote this, it was in response to this kind of thing that people experience, and I didn't think there was really anything out there that gave people some tangible steps that they could follow, so that's kind of how I geared my book, and the person who said, follow a routine, I found that's what people wanted. Give me some guidelines. How do I do this? Because there were a lot of books out there about people's story and how they got through, but sometimes their way didn't work for everyone, so I put together 6 steps that seem to be able to work for most people. You can apply it in different ways in your life. And the first step is what I call engaging mindfulness. And it's just like what that person said. Sometimes you just have to take one step at a time and just cope by staying present and following a routine.
You know what, Courtney, before we go into the steps, just in case anyone's not sure, maybe they're experiencing traumatic grief or maybe they're not, let's give a definition of traumatic grief and how someone might experience it so that if somebody's sort of on the fence and doesn't know how to define it, they can sort of start to say, okay, that does apply to me or that doesn't. So let's start there.
Yeah, let's do, because I want to clarify for people. When I wrote this book, it was designed especially for people who were dealing with grief after the traumatic death of someone they cared about, like a sudden or violent death. And so I've geared the book especially to that population, but the feedback I'm getting is people are saying, I'm reading it and now I'm applying it to other kinds of things. So I think you can, but I want people to be clear on that, because I don't want them to go try to look for it and say, this doesn't apply to me at all. But after reading what your listeners were wanting to talk about, I definitely think we can gear it, what we're going to talk about, to how people cope with that loss of self and the loss of your former life after any kind of trauma, whether it's the actual death of someone you love or your own, you know, mini death that you felt in your life after something terrible happened.
Great. Okay. So if you were going to define traumatic grief,
get back to that.
What would it be? No, that was a great setup. So we all understand how it gets applied, but what is traumatic grief?
Well, it's, you know, when people, I would not say grief is normal, because everybody's pattern can be completely different. So what we have discovered in research over the last several years is that there are no 5 stages of grief, actually, that people cope in all kinds of different ways. But with a typical grief process, it's you adapt to the change in your life, whatever that may be. And you have waves of what we call loss-oriented moments where you're real emotional and you're focused on the loss, and then you kind of have a reprieve from that where you want to be distracted from it and just get to restorative activities. And people who are going through a non-traumatic sort of grief tend to get through that process in, 6 months to a year, and they don't have a lot of extra fallout from it. But when it's a traumatic grief, it's so complicated. There's all kinds of beliefs that get challenged. Your beliefs about yourself, other people, and the world change dramatically. So you're having to wrap your head around that and find your new normal, so to speak. People will have PTSD symptoms. So there will be people who say, well, gosh, I'm grieving, but I'm having panic attacks, I'm having nightmares. So what I tend to look for is they'll have numbness and feeling disconnected from things, just like you would see with PTSD. Mm-hmm. They'll avoid things that remind them of the trauma, and they'll also have, hyperarousal in terms of just a lot of anxiety, hypervigilance, easily startled. And then they'll have the intrusive thoughts, which would be intrusive thoughts about the trauma or the loss, or it can come in the form of nightmares, flashbacks, that kind of thing.
My guest tonight is Courtney Armstrong, the author of Transforming Traumatic Grief, Six Steps to Move from Grief to Peace. So, Courtney, are you saying that traumatic grief can look exactly like post-traumatic stress disorder and not be post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, it's a good distinction. They're actually revising our DSM manual for how we diagnose things, and there's going to be an adjustment. Right now, PTSD is under anxiety disorders, and there's no formal diagnosis for a complicated grief, but they've actually come up with a new category called traumatic bereavement. Because it's mixed, you have the adjustment to grief mixed with PTSD symptoms, and sometimes people can't really move through the grief and adapt to the changes because the PTSD stuff's getting in the way and keeping them kind of stuck.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Total sense. All right, so if somebody wanted to start moving through this traumatic grief, now lay it on me, six easy steps.
Okay.
Well, not easy exactly, but
yeah.
Six organized steps.
Okay. So I use the acronym EMERGE, E-M-E-R-G-E. So you think of yourself emerging out of this thing eventually.
I like that.
Yeah. And the first one is engaging mindfulness, because I think when something initially happens, people are just trying to function, and there's a lot of emotional stuff. Your body's still in somewhat of a hyper-aroused state and in a survival mode. So what I teach people is first just how to use their breath and some just techniques for staying present in the moment, and that will get you through the intense waves because, like I said, they're not really stages. It comes in waves. Like, you'll think you're fine, and then this wave of emotion or intrusive thoughts will hit you. And so I teach the mindfulness stuff to help people get centered and kind of ride the wave and know that it will pass. It's just a wave, not, you know, that it's not going to drown them if they can just kind of ride it out. The other thing that we've learned is that when you practice mindfulness on a daily basis, particularly if you do 20 minutes of mindfulness meditation, you actually change the way your brain's responding to stress. You're improving it and kind of creating a buffer. So within 8 weeks, you'll actually feel a shift in how you're dealing with stuff. Your mind begins to learn how to, the emotional brain doesn't confuse, it confuses what's imagined and what's real. So if you just have an intrusive memory, emotional brain acts as if the trauma is happening all over again and is trying to get you to do something with the emotion. It's trying to get you to either stop something from happening or move away from something. But when you stop and just get present, you're telling the emotional brain, settle down, I'm here, it's not happening. And it's an art. I mean, it takes some practice.
Well, that would be my next question, Courtney, is if I wanted to learn how to do mindful meditation, how would I learn to do that?
Well,
what resources are there? Where would I go?
There's lots of stuff that you can find on the Internet. I have a guided imagery CD I created called Mindful Relaxation that teaches people and guides them through this, but there's tons of things all over the Internet. It's a hot topic right now. But the basic thing, all you need to remember is just to get present and focus on your breathing is the easiest thing to do. And just find a spot that you can gaze on and focus on that keeps you present in the room. And then breathe in, and on each exhale, just count one, two, and so on. And it's best to do it for, I would say, 2 to 3 minutes. So I tell people do it about 20 breaths, and that's usually enough time to kind of settle the mind down and help it get focused again.
Okay, so 20 breaths every day for 8 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to change the way the brain functions.
I don't know for sure if just the 20 breaths would. 20 minutes of mindful breathing
mm-hmm.
will do that.
Okay.
They've proven that.
So you could start with 20 breaths and then sort of work up to it, because I know...
Yes.
Right. I developed a big practice for transcendental meditation, but
yeah.
But that was at the very beginning of my recovery, and it was so hard to stay present and to stay focused and to, like, not jump out of my body, which is what I basically wanted to do 24 hours a day anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's so true. I think building up, and there's some studies that show people who've been traumatized do a little better with imagery to start out with, where you can just imagine yourself being in a beautiful place. And that doesn't exactly keep you present, but I think it can keep the nervous system calm down, and you can still focus on your breathing. Just imagine being in another place until you can tolerate being in your body more.
You know what really helped me was I focused on a word.
So
the word was, it just stayed in one place. I focused on the word peace because that was what I so desperately wanted to feel.
Yes, beautiful, yes.
And so I just focused on that word, and the word, it wasn't so much stimulation as, you know, for all the senses, as if I were in a beautiful place where I'd want to start looking around. What does the sun look like? What do the trees look like?
Yes.
With the word, it was just a black and white word in my mind. And then I could focus the way you're talking without distraction.
Yes, that's an excellent suggestion. And it's a neutral, you know, neutral enough thing, while also being, you know, it represented the feeling that you wanted, the quality that you wanted.
Right.
And drew your mind toward that.
Exactly. And we know how powerful that is.
Mm-hmm.
My guest on Your Life After Trauma tonight is the wonderfully insightful Courtney Armstrong, the author of Transforming Traumatic Grief, 6 Steps to Move from Grief to Peace. Courtney, give us the next 5 steps.
Thank you, Michelle. The next step is to make living stories. When something traumatic happens, it's like the mind will stop the movie in the worst place, and what people tend to remember is this trauma story, or if it's the loss of a loved one, the death story. And what is actually better for people is to expand that and remember the story in context. So what we'll do is get people to finish the story, so to speak, in a different place. So I read where a lot of people kept, they felt stuck, the story kept haunting them on your website. And one thing that will help is if you kind of think of it as you are the hero of this thing, and this awful thing happened, and we don't want to minimize that, but because you're here, you survived it. So we already know you defeated it by virtue of surviving it. So one of the things I help people do is restructure the story and make it a redemptive story. And it takes some time to get that too, but these are things that I want to help them get before we even talk about the traumatic memory in detail sometimes, because if the mind puts it into proper context, it'll stop haunting you so much, and we'll get to that in a minute.
That would be just such a relief.
Yes.
To transform your grief to relief.
Right.
It's very hard to think of yourself as a hero. I've written about that on the Heal My PTSD blog.
Yes.
And it's not a concept that is easy to embrace. And I know for myself, when I first started to see myself heroically, like I did survive this incredibly horrific thing, I was almost, Courtney, I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
How can you come through a trauma and then try to explain it to somebody and you start feeling proud that I did this? It seemed incongruous with the story.
Okay, yeah.
What is that?
Yes, but it is actually more accurate. One of the people I want to refer to is my mentor, John Connolly, and he's actually in the Palm Beach area. And he developed a method for treating trauma and grief called rapid resolution therapy. And the way John explained it to me is he said, well, think of a prisoner of war. You know, they may have had to do humiliating things and torturous things, but when they get home, we think of them as a hero. We know they didn't choose to be in that situation. They found themselves in this crazy, horrific situation. And when they get home, they can get a license plate.
You know?
He said things like, he thinks we should have all kinds of license plates.
True.
So some of them are kind of crude, but he says, why do we, you know, restrict it to the prisoners of war and war heroes? Everybody survived some kind of horrific thing, and we want to celebrate that.
I just wanted to say, as you continue with your explanation, I think it's hard to see yourself as a hero when so often we come through a trauma and the flip side of being heroic is shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I think that, you know, it's what I work with people to see is that you did what came to you to do at that time, and it's usually the most adaptive thing that you could have done, even if there was a freeze response and you felt paralyzed and helpless, mm-hmm. which is usually what people feel when they develop PTSD, and that's what really haunts is feeling powerless, as you've pointed out.
Right.
And so what the mind will do, though, is actually shut down. If you can't run away from the threat and you can't fight it off, then the next thing the mind will do is cause body to freeze or even go limp. And it's adaptive because your injury is caused by resistance. So you've heard of people that have been in car accidents drunk and walked away with not a scratch,
right?
Just because body was loose and limber,
mm-hmm.
and also in a very instinctive way, when like with the animals, if an animal is thought to be dead, that's why possums up here in Tennessee say dead, because a predator will be less likely to hurt them as much if they think they've already passed. So your body will actually do that instinctively to save you, to save your life, and also to dissociate you. It's like if something really horrible happened and people dissociate and say, I don't remember, I was outside my body, it's because your body was releasing your spirit and said, you don't need to be present for this.
And it's such a nice thing that your psyche and your body do. Terrifying in the moment because I experienced that myself,
mm-hmm.
but later perhaps such a gift.
Yeah.
You're listening to Your Life After Trauma on CVU Radio with my guest, Courtney Armstrong, the author of Transforming Traumatic Grief, 6 Steps to Move from Grief to Peace. Courtney, okay, so after we make the story,
mm-hmm.
what's the next step, the E?
The next step is envisioning connection. And this is another thing that can be kind of a new concept for people, but what Dr. Connolly also taught me was this beautiful metaphor that I want to share with your listeners because it helps so much. He says, imagine a place that you've seen that was just beyond beautiful, and when you were in that place, you may have noticed a sense of peace, maybe even excitement. What you got in touch with was your essence. Some people may think that place dropped that into you, but what happened was that place brought to your awareness where you have light, wisdom, peace, excitement at your center all the time. And it's like a light. So you have a body, but you're not your body. You have thoughts, but you're not your thoughts. You have a job, but you're not your job. Who are you then? You're that light. And that light's indestructible. Nothing can hurt a beam of light. Someone could shoot at the light, spit at the light, curse at the light, but that light keeps shining. That's still here. They didn't get that.
That's such a beautiful point to make.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I so agree. And so much of what I believe about recovery is driven by the fact that I think even after we've been traumatized, there is a part of ourselves that remains pure from that.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
I'm so glad that you said that because I don't actually have a lot of support when I talk about that.
It's hard to get people but once they experience it, and I'll use some imagery sometime to get them in touch with that, and it makes so much sense. And this is the part I wanted to highlight because your listeners were talking about feeling like they lost themselves. And so when I talk about envisioning connection, I'm talking about getting back connected to that light because it's still there. It's just the shadow of what happened has been blocking your awareness of it. And when you get that shadow out of the way, you'll be back in touch with that light. And or if it's the death of someone that you love, I get them to realize their light's still shining somewhere and you can still have a connection with them. Something
Definitely.
Happened to their body, but there's still a connection that you can evoke, whether you think it's memories or real, presence that they're with you. But it sounded like for your listeners that were commenting on Facebook, I wanted them to entertain that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to get in touch with it is just like Dr. Connolly said, it's to imagine a place or a time where you felt or saw something connected with something that was beyond beautiful, because that really does pull you right into it. The emotional brain gets symbols, pictures. It doesn't get words.
Right.
So you have to do it that way a lot of times to really evoke the feeling you're looking for.
And I'm so glad that you pointed that out, because so many people in your position in the therapeutic mm-hmm. arena, I feel discount the difference between the conscious mind and the subconscious emotional mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're talking about, and I know that you and I are trained alternatively in similar ways,
mm-hmm.
That you're really talking about integrating a process that addresses the conscious mind as well as the subconscious, so that
yes.
each part of the brain gets to work the way it most likes to work.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right.
So your relaxation CD that you made, is that available on CourtneyArmstrongLPC.com?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have okay. that there, and I also have a grief imagery CD that's similar to what I just described that people can listen to and use to get in touch with that light. It's more geared, that particular one may be more geared towards getting in touch with the light of someone you care about or love, but I do want to create one for the very thing you're talking about, helping people find the light within again. It's still there.
Well, Courtney, what are you waiting for?
I know, I need to get on it.
I mean, have we not made it clear?
I know, right?
That's what we're needing? All right, so that was step number three. What's step number four? We
okay.
have a few minutes, and I want to make sure
we
get through all of them.
To go over. Okay, but the next step is reprocessing traumatic memory, and there's different ways that people do that. Some people use it with the eye movement and desensitization, reprocessing EMDR, and there's all kinds of new tools out there. I use the method I learned from Dr. Connolly, which he taught me. All you got to do is stay emotionally present to the current moment as you're telling the story of what happened, and just tell the facts of it. Don't relive it, because when you relive it, you're reactivating your emotional brain and it thinks it's back in the trauma. For the trauma memory to get in the proper context into time and space, for the mind to realize you've survived it and defeated it, you have to stay present and finish the story at a different place. So that's why I do the mindfulness story mm-hmm. and connection first.
Okay, good. So
if you've got that, you can do the memory easy.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And I see a progression here in what you're doing. It's not
yeah.
just one thing. It's all of them put together.
Yes.
So
yes.
What's step number five then?
Step number five is generating new meaning. So a lot of times people have attached a meaning to the event that's worse than the event itself. And they blame themselves, they blame others, the world, try to make sense of it. But the fact is, none of these things make any frickin' sense. nobody, you know, there are complex things and lots of variables are involved. So what I teach people how to do is to examine those beliefs that are not useful. We're not looking for what's true, because we'll never, you know, have the mark on that. But what we're looking for is clearing out beliefs that aren't useful and replacing them with beliefs that are useful for you.
You know what's so funny, Courtney, is next week my guest on the show is Dr. Alex Patakos, a.k.a. Dr. Meaning. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
He's the founder of the Center for Meaning. And so it will perfectly segue. We can all think about what you're talking about this week and next week, really figure out how to make meaning when we're living after trauma.
Yes.
Okay, so just wrapping up then, for the sixth step, what is it?
The sixth step is what you're doing, establish community, Michelle. It is powerful. Just people want to, part of it is you feel disconnected. So I think connecting to something larger than yourself, connecting with others who get it, that's the healing thing. And to feel like you're contributing back
right.
and helping others, there's power in that. And I tell people, take your time with it, because at first you don't feel like connecting. It's too overwhelming. Sometimes you can't hear other people's stories right away because it's so painful. So
mm-hmm.
it's a process, but as you start to work your way, emerge through it, that seems to be the final thing that really pushes you forward into that next chapter of your life.
Courtney, I love all of this.
it's so
positive and empowering,
yes. Yes.
which I think is really fundamental in trauma recovery.
Yes.
Thank you
yes.
so much for
bringing
your light. Your essence to your life after trauma.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate what you're doing for the world. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Courtney.